These billboards are popping up all over the state, and they read, "All business is essential." That's the name of a Facebook page and a movement being started by an Upper Peninsula businessman, Eric Kalunin, who's on the line with us right now. Eric, good morning, and thanks for being with us.
Good morning. How are you this morning?
Doing all right. Tell us a little bit about your business and why you decided to reopen despite the order to stay closed.
Well, it comes down to, you know, as a business, I got hit. You know, when it first came down, everybody wanted to shut down, and I said, okay, fine, this seems to make sense for a little bit. And they needed a couple of weeks to see what we had. And as soon as we shut down our business, I watched a book of business just absolutely vaporize as soon as that order came out. And I had to lay off 10 people immediately in one of my businesses. And ended up applying for the PPP funding, got the PPP funding, but then I'm looking around, and anybody that's been in business knows that you don't just turn business on and off. It takes a while to ramp things up and get everything going. And as I watched the governor keep pushing the date off and off and off, finally I just said, this is enough. And I ended up reaching out to all my employees and said, anybody want to come back, you're welcome to come back. This was, I guess, a couple weeks ago. And if you don't want to and you're not comfortable, don't come back. It's no big deal. But either way, we're going to get going and start going to business again. And we did, and 9 out of 10 showed up. And just as I started talking to people around town and looking around the UP and started getting involved in this a little bit, I saw that I think across the UP we've had 4 deaths to the COVID virus. And I'm sitting here scratching my head saying, you know, we lose more to heart attacks and, you know, common flu and stuff like this. And as I dug deeper and deeper, I became more and more firm with my convictions that the world is just making a mistake. And when you look at the flu deaths that are expected every year through the World Health Organization, you'll find 650,000 is standard. And so we've got this COVID crisis that I think has largely been manufactured. It is real, no doubt about that, but when you're looking at a death toll less than 300,000 and you shut down the global economy, you know, I have one serious question as a business person is, you know, all the fixes that are in right now, how do we propose to pay for them if we're all broke?
It is tough to navigate that. Either way, we suffer. I guess, Eric, I look at all those deaths that have occurred with the economy shut down. Oh my gosh, if everything was open and everybody was going about business as usual, that death toll would be a lot higher, don't you think?
No, I don't. Actually, I don't believe that. I believe that, you know, in particular, as I've studied the numbers, it seems like the more densely populated areas where the idea of personal space is full body contact, you know, have obviously had the biggest problems, i.e., you know, New York City or China. Where, you know, people are always shoulder to shoulder, and you would expect that contact to go up here in the UP, and I would assume down at Port Huron, you know, social distancing, you know, when they say you got to keep 6 feet distance up here, it's like I have to go that close to that person, you know, and it's almost like
right.
As you look at the numbers and you see them go up and then coming down, it's, you know, you're building the herd immunity. It is what has to happen. You know, if we think we can live in a world where there are no viruses, where there will be no contact, I got news for you. It's just not possible.
You know, I guess I look at this and I say this is a novel virus. We've never had this virus before. We are learning about it as we go, and the effects of it are devastating, and it's highly contagious. I think that's the big concern. What have you been studying that the governor's scientists have not been studying? What do you know that they don't?
Well, I tell you what, I read a book by a gentleman by the name of Jared Diamond, I don't know, probably 5-10 years ago, and it's called Guns, Germs, and Steel. And when the Europeans came to the Americas and took them over, we didn't do it with guns. We didn't do it with bows and arrows. We did it with germs. And 90% of the population was absolutely devastated by the introduction of smallpox, among other diseases, to a population that flat out wasn't ready for it. And so as I look at what's going on with, you know, the house arrest and putting, you know, the healthy people into 3 months, you know, basically house arrest for 3 months, you can't leave your house. We're feeding people processed food, and they're sedentary. They're eating soda and drinking beer, whatever they're doing, and not exposed to any viruses whatsoever, theoretically, which is also false. But now we're going to take the same group of people and we're going to throw them out to the world. All you've done is completely depress their immune system, take them out of the condition they were. They're absolutely in horrible physical shape, more than likely, and now we throw them all out there. It's just an absolute recipe for disaster. and as I look at it, keeping people healthy and moving. I mean, if you just look at the basics of healthcare, you got to get out. Your body's moved to, you know, your body's made to move, and it does have to have exposure to disease to develop resistance. And so, I'm just out trying to educate people that, you know, life is not sanitary. Life is not without risk. You know, there are some risks out there, and for me, you know, we live in a free country. Last time I checked, and those that want to sequester themselves and are concerned should absolutely do it. But at the, you know, to tell everybody in this country to go under house arrest for 3 months, whoa, that's a massive overstep. And now you start.
Well, it's not house arrest. I mean, if it's a stay-at-home order, you can call it house arrest, but that's not what it really is. What kind of response have you gotten from, I don't know, the governor's office or local officials where you are to reopening your business when you're really not supposed to?
Well, I checked with my local authorities, and they just said that we're convinced most people have done their own homework, and that most people are capable of making their own decisions. And so I don't, we're up here on the very, very northern tip of Michigan, up in the Keweenaw, and I just checked with local authorities and says, what's your position on it? And that's what I heard. And so I said, okay, I'm opening. And so we haven't really heard anything, quite frankly. It's been, I would say, crickets for the most part. But for me, it's really about just educating the American public. Think about how unhealthy it is to be in your house with a 3x6-inch screen consuming digital media about how the world is falling every day of the week, every day of the week, and then waking up 3 months later and finding you have no job and no means to sustain yourself. They're basically, in my opinion, creating the fear. And there's a recent Rasmussen poll that just came out that says 60% of the United States is interested in getting the businesses open, you know, establish safe social distancing protocols, which, you know, I may disagree with that, but 60% of the voters believe we should get going, every business. And as I look at the way it's been, the way the mandates have come down, you know, when I see essential businesses are liquor, lotto, and marijuana, and yet you can't buy a rake, you know, paint or a broom. At that point, you just kind of look at it and say, I'm sorry, this just doesn't make sense.
So you can buy rates, Eric. That's not illegal.
The executive orders have been coming down are completely illogical. And, to me, I look at it and I say, okay, so we want to get everybody stoned and drunk in their basement, and the people that want to go out and create positive energy and work are somehow not allowed to do it. And so it's just really fundamentally wrong. And
I think that you're painting a picture of what's going on that's not really realistic. Nobody's ordered confined to their homes. You live in a beautiful part of the world up there in the UP, Eric. You can get out and go for a long hike or a walk, or you can take your boat out. I mean, you can do all kinds of things that don't involve sitting in your house, drinking, consuming processed foods, and staring at a screen. I think some people choose to do that, but nobody's been ordered to do that, Eric.
Well, you know what? That's not what I heard. I heard people down there couldn't take power boats out. They could take canoes out, and they were getting stopped for a power boat. True or not?
Well, it is true, and the reason for that is a lot of people were loading up their friends that weren't from their home on their power boat. They wrote so many tickets for people that were, in a close proximity with other people that they didn't live with, that they had to, at least temporarily, while it was about 35 degrees out, ban power boating, and now that's back open again. So I see where you're coming from. I just think that you're painting this picture of, this authoritarian rule where we all have to stay inside. We live in a beautiful state. You can get out and stretch all you want.
Yeah, well, we're doing it. You know, we're absolutely doing
good.
It. I from that end of it, I don't have any issues with it. But I'm looking at the education that's going on, and then I'm looking at the economy that comes to an absolute standstill. And so you can go for a walk. You can do all that wonderful stuff. But, you know, some of the things that get overlooked are just basic constitutional rights. You know, you just go to the First Amendment. You take a look at it and say, you know, what business does any government have saying where we can gather, who we want to talk to, and what we want to talk about? And that's, you know, you're starting to cut to the bone. And so when I look at it kind of in total, I'm just encouraging everybody to open their businesses. You know, I mean, if you're concerned about the spread of the virus, by all means, stay away from the business. You know, it's not mandatory that anybody patronize any business. You know, this is not mandatory. We live in a free society. If you don't want to go to somebody's place of business for whatever reason, and I'm quite comfortable that you've probably walked out of a restaurant or two in your lifetime when you walked in and you looked at the condition and you said, excuse me, no thank you, I'll leave. And, you know, that's your fundamental right. But the business owner's fundamental right to open up as well has to be respected. And I guess that's where, you know, that's where I would kind of put the line for you is, you know, that's what we have to be doing. And you've got the we're quarantining the healthy. You know, the ill, every other time we've had a medical condition, you know, where we've had flu breakouts or what have you, you quarantine the people with the disease. You don't quarantine the healthy. And I'm seeing studies coming in from Detroit now and New York where I'm hearing about it, where people that have done the quarantine, you know, I think it's 59% of them were under quarantine and got it anyway. And so you kind of look at it and say that you paint it against the picture of the global flu statistics and say we got 650,000 that we know are going to die, and we've got 300,000 here, and we don't shut down the world every year for the flu. You know, it's something we know, we deal with it. We put on our big boy pants, if you will, and you know, when people get sick, we quarantine them, we put them, you know, take care of them, do the best we can with them, and we move on. So, I mean, right now we're less than 50% of the statistical flu deaths that'll happen every year.
Yeah, but coronavirus is not the flu. Like, and that it's they're not the same thing.
Well, you know, I look at it, and ultimately it's a medical condition. And as I look at a medical condition, I look at the number of deaths. You take the Tri-County area down in Detroit, right? You got Wayne, Oakland, Macomb. You got 3.8 million people. And excuse me one second. You got 3.8 million people, and of that, we've had, let's just call it 3,800 deaths across the state of Michigan. So, you know, it's 4,000 or whatever the number is right now. And my heart goes out to those that have lost people. I've lost a brother early on in life when I was 18. He was 20. I know the pain. It's not that I'm ignorant of the pain, but when I look at it and I say we have 3.8 million people in a tri-county area and we've lost 3,800 or 4,000, it's 4,000, you do the math, that's 0.001%. Your odds of dying from COVID are remarkably low. And as I do math and I look at, you know, from the manufacturing perspective, you know, we talk about Six Sigma and stuff, we're almost perfect. And so we've got this, you know, the ginned up fear. My basic concern is I think the fear that is created by the media pounding this as this, you know, it's almost like it's a ghost. It's going to come and it's going to get you. The reality is, yes, some people are going to get affected. Some people are going to get sick and some people are going to die. Let's deal with that. Let's deal with it as adults. But at the same time, while all that hype is going on, let's look at the numbers. What are we truly responding to? And what is, you know, what is going on? And then I look at, we talk about not having enough ventilators, right? And then I hear about what's going on in Detroit where, okay, we've got hospitals that are overflowing. A week later, they're not overflowing anymore. A week later, we have plenty of ventilators.
All right? Yeah, the stay-at-home order seemed to work, didn't it?
Basic math. Get the additional equipment you need and continue on. Right now, we got Beaumont Hospital completely shut down. We laid off 1,100 people at my regional hospital, Aspirus Keweenaw. So what are those people going to do to survive? And then how many people are dying of heart attacks? I had a cousin die about two
Well,
weeks
I mean, Eric, look, we're going to have to go pretty soon. You can't compare the flu and heart attacks and car crashes to COVID-19. It's a different thing.
I would, if you look at the Michigan Health Department statistics, and I know we have to go, you'll find that right now our deaths by heart attack, deaths by flu, deaths by pneumonia are all trending down while COVID is trending up. And so when I look at just hard data, I look at it and I just ask the question. That's all I do is ask the question. If we didn't have COVID to lay this on, those would be classified by their underlying conditions every time. And right now, you can look at it. It's public data. It's available. You know, if you come to, you know, take a look at what we're up to, all businesses essential, I reach out. I'm more than happy to educate the public on it. My point being is the data is out there. It's starting to come in. It's real. And when you start looking at it, just hard, cold data, you realize that we're just dealing with another, you know, it's difficult because, you know, there's the emotional attachment to death. I get it. But the reality is that the numbers are way overblown. And I guess all I can do is say thank you so much for giving me the time.
Yeah, I appreciate you joining us. Let me just ask you before we wrap up. If this catches on, all business is essential, your movement to get businesses to defy the stay-at-home order and open up before they're supposed to, and the number of COVID-19 deaths goes up, how will you feel?
The way I will feel about that, and so you're not the first one to ask me that question. I was asked it, and you know, do you think you're being reckless? And the way I would answer that question is we have a guaranteed problem coming if we keep down the current path. So if we shut down our economy and we break the country and it's destitute and we have the Great Depression, I fear that more, because that is guaranteed to happen if we keep on this path, than anything that might happen with COVID. So when I look at COVID and I say somebody's going to come in and blame me, or you know, think that I'm responsible for this, I look at it and say I'm doing the right thing. And I would just flip that question right back on them and say, how irresponsible is it to have 10 million people in the state of Michigan where 4 million of them don't have a job? And who's going to pay for those people? Who's going to take care of them? Who's going to keep the hospitals open? Because that's what's going to happen if we keep down this path.
So, there is no easy answer, is there, Eric?
I understand numbers. Basically, I don't claim to be a statistician, but I look at it and I just say, this is just the reality. You know, if we go into a depression and nobody can afford to eat anymore, it doesn't really matter what the disease is, because now we're all struck by poverty. Yeah. And when you hit that point, you know, unfortunately, we've lost the people that have lived through the Great Depression. The people that I talked to, my grandfather that saved every last thing he ever had, I never understood it. I do now, because he lived through something that none of us can imagine, wondering where your next meal is coming from. And what I'm trying to do is wake up this country we have to say that, don't go down this path. This is the logical end of it, and you can predict it as easy as any math you want to do. The problem we got with COVID is the numbers are moving, and the more and more people that get tested, the less and less, you know, the denominator is getting massive. Everybody's, you know, we're talking 20-30% of the population has been exposed. And the deaths, you know, so the deaths by COVID is, you know, it just keeps trending down and down and down. And it's like, you know, you can sit here and wait for another 3 months, but another 3 months from now, you've killed the state of Michigan. You've got a manufacturing economy that generates $12 billion a year. You've already lost $3 billion of it. Where are you going to pay for this? And that's just it's a massive problem that you cannot avoid, whether you know, I don't care how you feel about it. That's a problem that's guaranteed to happen. And so I would say take our chances. Let's fix what we can do, and then give the compassion and the care to those that get infected and do our best to help them the best way we can.
Appreciate your time this morning, Eric. Thanks so much for joining us. So hope you and everybody up there, up in God's country in the UP, stay safe and healthy.
Stay free, my friend. Thank you.